Good morning. You're all welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala, this morning, a Sunday before Christmas Day. And so today we are doing literally carols. So we'll have a brief study through Luke as we continue seeing the Christmas narrative. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. We're going to see the blessed. So we started off looking at the promise that God made, the promise of a child, a son, a king, a savior. Last week we saw the response, Mary's response and her response compared to the others. Now we see here her extended response, and she's going to visit Elizabeth. Let's read together and see what happened. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the joy that we bring. We even see a baby leaping for joy at the hearing of your coming. This, your coming, as we look back to it, is one event that we all longed for many generations back, and even today, rejoice because you came. Lord, we see your faithfulness in the promises you make, as Elizabeth tells Mary, there will be a fulfillment because it's the Lord who made the promise. We see your faithfulness even when we are faithless. But we see your humility, Lord, and you come to show us how glorious you are, yet how humble, how you are everything, and yet you came depending on human care, how you reign, and yet you came to die. And Lord, as we study this text, as we just rejoice through this season, Lord, we want to just realize how blessed we are. We just want to just recognize how a blessing you've poured out upon us. Like, regardless of what has failed to happen this year or whatever pains we've gone through, Lord, we are more than blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Mary has had the announcement made to her, all the explanations given, and she takes a trip. And this was a long trip. She probably journeyed 2 to 3 days, 80 to 100 miles, about 140, 150 kilometers out of where she was in Nazareth, down south to Judah. The Bible says here, to the hill country of Judah, with haste, the city of David. Another narrative records, and this could have been Hebron or Shiloh, where the priests lived. The city is designed for the priest because Zacharias was a priest. So there she journeyed. She probably took a few friends with her, and there she was meeting Elizabeth. Now the angels had announced to Elizabeth and to Mary that they were going to have children. Elizabeth does not know what Mary knows, because to strengthen her faith, the angel announced to her that Elizabeth is also pregnant. So she's taking this journey just to, I don't know, she's looking for sharing the joy that they have together as ladies having miracle babies. Both of them, it's their first pregnancies, just rejoicing together as those through whom God was going to do mighty things. Just company. Ladies love lady company, right? They're going to have some girl talk. They're going to congratulate each other. Kongs, God chose you. Kongs, God chose you. And here we have an interview between two happy mothers, Elizabeth and Mary. Now notice how their husbands, after receiving insight about what was happening, they responded differently. One believed. Joseph was okay with what God was going to do. Zacharias did not believe, and he was mute. You know, somebody said that Mary probably understood that not many people would understand her experience or even believe the story as the angel told her how she was going to have a miraculous conception. So she's looking for somebody in her pot, in her shoes, who is also going to have a baby, and not so many people are believing. At least they're awestruck. This is good, too good to be true. So she journeys to Judah to meet Elizabeth. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15 and 16, in those days, at the time, I will cause to grow up to a branch, to David rather, a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The city of David, Judah, was promised a savior. And this Mary is taking literally this journey in literally a prelude to what salvation was going to do down south and all over the world. And God showed Jeremiah that, and many other prophets, Isaiah and the rest. And when Elizabeth, the Bible records here, saw Mary filled with the Holy Spirit, her unborn child, who's John the Baptist, leaped. Can you imagine? This is one spiritual baby, right? I remember when our firstborn was almost due, we would actually play games. And one time he kicked so hard that I was actually frightened. I almost felt like his little foot had popped out. It was such a hard kick. That was just a kick. That was just me playing with him. But this one is prompted by the power of God, filled with the Spirit, and the result is joy. And we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, gladness of heart, and the expressions of joy, jumping, singing, running around. I don't know if you've seen some people really excited. You know, the joy just produces physical activity. I watched a music show once, and this guy was almost, you know, actually there were three, and he was the eventual winner. But before they would give them the prize, they told three of them that, you know what? What is going to happen to you probably has never happened before. When we pronounce who the winner is, most likely one of you is going to, whoever it is, most likely is going to lose his mind. And obviously they are tense. And the announcer said, okay, the winner is the runner-up and the second runner-up, obviously winner. And the person collapsed right there on stage. And you know, they took him up and filled him with some sugar and glucose, and they brought him back to life, right? And the one who was giving the prize said, you know, I told you you're going to do that, you know. I knew it was going to happen. It just so happens when you're full of excitement, sometimes we just pass out. Well, John the Baptist kicks, and Mary visiting Elizabeth causes her to just wonder how privileged she was. She says this, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What a privilege. I'm sure all of us would respond like that if that was the setting. Who am I? David actually said, who am I that you are mindful of me? Just a man. Who are we that the Savior, our God, would leave his throne and come down to save us? You know, some of us think of ourselves so highly. Well, see Elizabeth. Who am I? Obviously, she's going to be the mother of the most famous prophet in the New Testament, the one who would usher in Jesus Christ, but she's so humble. Who am I that I'm going to give birth to a baby who's going to present the Messiah to the world? And she says to Mary, who am I that you would visit me? I mean, Mary had so many choices, right? She could have visited lots of other people, but Elizabeth is just humbled by the fact that God brought her Mary. And you know that the angel had told Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant. The angels had not told Elizabeth that Mary is pregnant. And she discovers this is going to be the mother of my Lord, the mother of my King, the mother of my Savior. Whew, Mary, you chose to come and visit me and tell me about the Messiah. How humbled I am. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting, she told her, the sound of your greeting, the baby had and he leaped for joy. And she says, this blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her by the Lord. Elizabeth responded by faith. Mary responded by faith. We saw last week. And Mary's faith, somebody writes, played an active role in receiving the promise. God promises a baby, and Mary says, so it be. God's promises should not be received passively, literally actively. They should prompt us, this author writes, to seize them, to receive them, to embrace them. And Elizabeth encourages her that, you know what, Mary, there's going to be a fulfillment of those things which the Lord has told you. It is going to happen. It seems to me that it's just a few days and the baby is not conceived yet. Baby Jesus in the womb, not conceived yet. And yes, it's going to happen. Somebody said this, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is that we get to see what we believe. It appears that Mary does not feel the baby in there yet, right? But faith helps us to see the things that we believe. Another author says this, understanding is the reward of faith. It says, therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. We have hundreds of general promises that God has given to all of us as his children. But often God comes with a very personal promise to you, to each one of us, something very personal. At the time that you least expect it, you're not even praying and fasting about it. And sometimes we may miss it simply because we doubt, or at least we're caught off guard. Like, you know what, that's not an angel. And God may make it as clear can get, but we may think, what is he saying? But the Christmas narrative reminds us to respond by faith. I don't understand how this is going to happen, Mary, but God said so. It is going to happen. And she says to her, blessed are you. Now the angels told her earlier on, blessed are you among women, right? And Mary hears it from Elizabeth. Blessed among women are you. You're unique. You're one in billions. One. How unique, how blessed, how favored, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. One mom out of billions and one baby out of billions. There's not going to be another Mary. There's not going to be another Jesus. Well, and so is each one of us. There's only one you. I'm told that each one of us all across the world have at least 9 lookalikes. Have you met your lookalike? I've actually seen my lookalike on a poster and was advertising beer. And some people could not believe it was not me. It's a gentleman from Kenya. There's only one you, and when God comes to make a promise to you, it is for you. You and you alone, out of billions. And let's be reminded that God is in this business of coming to each one of us individually and making some personal promises, and you need to embrace them and enjoy them. And probably share them like Mary went to share with Elizabeth. She is blessed. The blessed, somebody said, respond by faith. If you consider yourself blessed, you are this person like Mary and Elizabeth who respond to God by faith. God, I don't understand what is ahead, but I know you are in control, so I will follow you. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed are we when we believe. When we believe the promises of God. Martin Luther said this, God our Father has made all things depend on faith so that whoever has faith will have everything and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. Quite radical statement. You believe in anything that God says to you, you enjoy everything. You don't believe, Zacharias? Mute. I was told of a story of a grandmother living with her granddaughter and they didn't have anything for Christmas. And you know, kids, What am I having for Christmas? What are you getting me for Christmas? She kept asking the grandmother what she was going to get her for Christmas. And the grandmother said, you know what? I don't have anything right now, but God will send us something. God will send us a gift. And she kept on waiting from 20th to 21st to 22nd to 23rd. Grandmom, nothing is coming. The grandmother kept saying to her, God will send us something for Christmas. I don't know what it is, but he will. Well, sure enough, on Christmas Eve, in the evening, when she's like, grandmom, maybe this is a thing for grandmothers, right? She's thinking, this is not happening. It's actually when a complete stranger delivered them a Christmas package. Grandmother assured her granddaughter, I told you, God would send us something, and there it is. It is safer to believe and easier to believe than to not believe. In fact, it takes hard work to not believe. I don't even know how, I mean, somebody even gives an illustration. If you enter into a car, you're actually believing it's going to take you home. If you don't have any faith, you're not even going to drive it. You get into this building knowing it's not going to collapse, right? You sit on that chair knowing it's not going to break. And each and every decision we make requires faith. You get out of your house to go somewhere knowing you're going to go to the last of your destination. Let's be encouraged, Christians, to walk by faith. God is guiding us. In Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are those who are like, God, you have said this, and we're going to incline our ears to you with everything in us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. In John chapter 20, verses 27 to 29, this is Thomas, this is response to the resurrection. Jesus appears to them in a locked room. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it on my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing, Jesus tells him. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. And he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So we can say those who don't believe are not blessed. They miss out on something. But those who believe, Jesus says, without even seeing, they are blessed. So is Mary and Elizabeth and each one of us who is constantly believing in the Lord, trusting him with all our hearts. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does it do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Galatians is a very short but profound book on faith. And here it talks about the faith of Abraham. Nothing happened in Abraham's life by the working of the law. Nothing. And obviously the Galatians are believing that they can be saved by observing all the hundreds of laws. You cannot be saved by obeying, because you can't obey perfectly. You get saved by believing in the promise that God made in Jesus Christ. For by grace we are saved through faith. So did Abraham, can we receive anything by the working of something else apart from Jesus Christ? No, we can't. Can we be justified by holding on to something else than God himself through Jesus Christ? No. Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and so are we. We believe in Jesus Christ, and he says, that is righteousness. I've given it to you. You can't pay for it. And the Bible here says that the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, all of us Gentiles, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. And what is the gospel that was preached to Abraham? In you all the nations shall be blessed. Genesis 12. And so are we, millions and billions of children that belong to Abraham by faith. He was the first to receive that promise. And so many still receiving that promise, the promise of salvation. And he concludes here in verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, with following Abraham's example of God. You've promised me a son, he's going to save the whole world. Let it be. So be it. Let's be reminded, we will enjoy all the blessings of God. All. Not one shall we miss. Only by believing. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, no way. And you know, sometimes faith does not make logical sense, right? Because an old woman, way past the age of having children, having a baby, on the other hand, and God is literally doing extremes, and a way old woman having a baby, and a teenage girl who has not known a man is going to have a baby. Think about it. Both impossible, impossible. And God says, it's going to happen, Elizabeth. It is going to happen, Mary. And sure enough, it did. If they had not believed, I'm sure God would have looked for other people who are ready to believe and receive his promises. None of us wants to be that person who the promise comes by and because of a lack of faith, it goes. In fact, one person in the Gospels in the New Testament say to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, we believe. Sometimes we struggle with unbelief, but Lord, help us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow in prayers. The worship team comes back. Lord, thank you so much for just strengthening our hearts and reminding us of the impossibles that you do among us. And thank you so much for the general promises that you make to us. But thank you so much, God, for the personal promises that you make for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that we may be attentive enough through this season as we celebrate, as we rejoice. We may be attentive to hear the personal promise that you have for each one of us. Lord, that we may enjoy Jesus. If we don't enjoy anything, if we don't enjoy the food or anything happening, that we may enjoy Jesus who is living in us. Lord, that we may be referred to as those who are blessed because we believed. So Lord, again, as we look through the events around your coming, Lord, we want our faith to grow. May you help our unbelief. May you help our doubts. Lord, we doubt. The world puts doubts and other sources bring doubts to our hearts and minds. But Lord, we want to be those who respond by faith. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.